Wednesday, March 22nd, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. 23 U.S. senators reportedly sent a letter to President Trump asking him not to listen to Carl Icahn's request to change the point of obligation for the renewable fuel standard RINs. If there was no such risk, then 23 U.S. senators would not have sent the letter. The fact that they did so confirmed that the concern that existed was real. Icahn will be relentless about this, and so far Trump has not been any more pro-ethanol than Obama was. The EPA is going to water down fleet vehicle mileage standards. The current CAFE model is achievable, but requires octane in fuel. Ethanol is octane, so when they reduce demand for octane, they reduce demand for ethanol. Where is the E15 vapor waiver so the fuel can be pumped during the summer? A truly pro-ethanol Trump administration would approve the waiver without any concession having to be made for it. So we are fighting an impending potential change in the point of RIN obligation, which is seen as negative for the industry, without a vapor waiver for E15 from an administration that called itself pro-ethanol in the campaign. Where's the pro-ethanol stuff, and why would we have to beg for it? There should be oil flowing through the Dakota Access Pipeline almost any minute now. They are getting the final touches finished to the pipeline, which includes fixing holes cut into the line by vandals. There was a significant amount of destruction that really rose above something that you would describe as vandalism that cost the company millions of dollars during construction. They should not have had to deal with something like that in this country. Crude oil fell below last week's lows and will soon be poised to test previous intermediate lows in the $45 a barrel area. The failure to move the crude oil market higher with OPEC production cuts revealed the loss of leverage that the Saudis have in the market. U.S. shale oil production rose to offset OPEC cuts. U.S. rig counts have more than doubled from lows as oil prices recovered to $50 a barrel. U.S. oil stocks and storage surged. The U.S. now is exporting oil and gas. The Saudis and OPEC are not in control of enough of the world's oil supply, nor can they afford the reduction in production necessary to push prices significantly higher. The recovery to $50 a barrel was enough for the U.S. shale oil industry to recover and expand. It's very hard to see how you are going to get much global reinflation out of the energy markets. The Saudis have been working hard to shore up their customer base and demand in Asia. While oil prices have set back, any significant weakness below $45 a barrel would serve as a break to U.S. production. The USDA is currently being guided by Trump campaign advisor Sam Clovis from Iowa. I hope that Sam sticks around with USDA when Sonny Perdue is confirmed, as he would be a good advisor in biofuels to Perdue. Perdue's confirmation hearing is set for Thursday. Clovis understands the purpose of the RFS is to protect market access for ethanol from predatory petroleum industry practices. Too bad he's not at EPA. You're listening to the Comstock Report. 3, 2, 1. On the cattle, the strength in the beef product market should be on borrowed time now. The recent sharp advance in the beef product market was great from the standpoint that it gave packers the funds to pay more for cash cattle. I'd warned, however, that it was going to be a problem for retailers and it would hurt retail demand for beef again. One of the problems during the bear market was the slow lagging decline in retail prices, so consumers were not getting the benefit of lower cattle prices. It took a while, but the wholesale and retail markets fell to levels just before the current reinflation of the product market, where beef was buying back some lost market share. It would have been better had that period lasted longer. The soaring beef product market is going to turn retailers off again, making them wish that they had not lowered prices as much previously. They're now faced with some expensive beef for spring featuring and will not be able to give consumers as competitive a price for beef. This will hurt the grilling demand. The basis favors the bulls in live cattle futures. April live cattle could have significant upside potential in that contract in order to align the basis. We see no reason for any immediate weakness in the cash cattle market. So again, the bias is for futures to rise to the level of cash. Feedlots have a very favorable exchange of break-evens, able to sell fats at the highest price for the year, and yet buy new feeder cattle at a discount that stands a good chance of making money on the next round. I don't see the Brazilian beef scandal benefiting the U.S. industry very much. Brazil exports low-quality beef, and the U.S. imports that kind while exporting high-quality beef. China doesn't buy U.S. beef, which is something that Ambassador Branstad is supposed to fix. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us at Royal Iowa, online at comstock.com, or call 712-933-9400.